Linda was 9 then, as I was. But we were in love, and it was real. When I write about her now, 3 decades later, it's tempting to dismiss it as a crush, an infatuation of childhood, but I know for a fact that what we felt for each other was as deep and rich as love can ever get. It had all the shadings and complexities of mature adult love, and maybe more, because there were not yet words for it, and because it was not yet fixed to comparisons or chronologies or the ways by which adults measure such things. I just loved her. She had poise and great dignity. Her eyes, I remember, were deep brown like her hair, and she was slender and very quiet and fragile-looking. Even then, at 9 years old, I wanted to live inside her body. I wanted to melt into her bones, that kind of love. And so in the spring of 1956, when we were in the 4th grade, I took her out on the first real date of my life, a double date, actually, with my mother and father. Though I can't remember the exact sequence, my mother had somehow arranged it with Linda's parents. And on that damp spring night, my dad did the driving while Linda and I sat in the back seat and stared out opposite windows, both of us trying to pretend it was nothing special. For me, though, it was very special. Down inside, I had important things to tell her, big, profound things, but I couldn't make any words come out. I had trouble breathing. Now and then I'd glance over at her, thinking how beautiful she was. Her white skin and those dark brown eyes, and the way she always smiled at the world, always, it seemed, as if her face had been designed that way. The smile never went away. That night, I remember she wore a new red cap, which seemed to me very stylish and sophisticated, very unusual. It was a stocking cap, basically, except the tapered part at the top seemed extra long, almost too long, like a tail growing out of the back of her head. It made me think of the caps that Santa's elves wear, the same shape and color, the same fuzzy white tassel at the tip. Sitting there in the back seat, I wanted to find some way to let her know how I felt, a compliment of some sort. But all I could manage was a stupid comment about the cap. "Geez," I must have said, "what a cap." Linda smiled at the window. She knew what I meant. But my mother turned and gave me a hard look. It surprised me. It was as if I'd brought up some horrible secret. For the rest of the ride, I kept my mouth shut. We parked in front of the Ben Franklin store and walked up Main Street toward the State Theater. My parents went first, side by side, and then Linda in her new red cap, and then me, tailing along 10 or 20 steps behind. I was 9 years old. I didn't yet have the gift for small talk. Now and then my mother glanced back, making little motions with her hand to speed me up. At the ticket booth, I remember Linda stood off to one side. I moved over to the concession area, studying the candy, and both of us were very careful to avoid the awkwardness of eye contact, which was how we knew about being in love. It was pure knowing. Neither of us, I suppose, would have thought to use that word, love, but by the fact of not looking at each other and not talking, we understood with a clarity beyond language that we were sharing something huge and permanent. Behind me in the theater, I heard cartoon music. "Hey, step it up," I said. I almost had the courage to look at her. "You want popcorn or what?"